God is good. And all the time. God is good. And all the time. Amen, amen. We're going to share brief words as we close down this morning. I'm going to share from Genesis, the book of Genesis, which of course is the first book in the Bible. I'm going to look in the NIV at Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. I'm going to be reading from the NIV. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 1, we read these words. After this, say after this.
After this.
After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? Now, of course, we know that Abram is Abraham. Abram was his name before the Lord changed his name to Abraham, just so you have that contextually. And then verse 3, and Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. Then the Lord took Abram outside and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. The Lord brought this passage and some similar passages to my mind this week as I was, actually, interestingly, I was in the morning. So in the morning, I do some physical exercises in addition to trying to get to the Word and get myself together spiritually. And I highly recommend to you to have a physical exercise routine, keeps your body in shape. And as I was, during the winter, we have a little room there, and I'll go and do some calisthenics in there if I can't make it to the gym. And sometimes I'll go down to the gym. But this particular morning, in fact, it was earlier this week, I didn't have time to get to the gym, and so I was going to do some exercises in the home. But I said, you know what? Instead of my working out this little room, it seems like it's a nice day outside, so let me go outside. So I grabbed my little mat and went outside to my backyard. And because sometimes being out in the fresh air is a little bit more invigorating, and it can kind of, you know, sometimes you have things on your mind, and exercising helps, but sometimes being outside helps and smelling the fresh air and such. And I went outside, and the grass was green, and the air was fresh. And I went out, and bear with me, there's a reason for this physical demonstration. So I went outside and I got down, got my little mat, and went down and was beginning to do my little stretching exercises that I'm doing to get my limbs together. And I started to do my little push-ups and all that kind of stuff. And I was about to do some stretches, and I got on my back and was going to do my sit-ups and laid down. And as I laid down, I looked up. And as I looked up, the heavens were so resplendent. The sky was a bright blue. There were huge, puffy, white, billowy clouds in a procession moving across the sky. Over here, the sun was coming up in its brightness, in its glory, and it took my breath away as I looked up and was reminded how small my little situation was compared to the majesty of God's creation. And that's the word the Lord would have for you this morning. Look up. Look up. That's what we see in this passage. We're reading from Genesis, and the situation is Abraham has been going through some things. chapter 15, verse 1, starts with that phrase, after this.
Well, after what?
Abraham had some ups and downs. Abraham had some promises made way back in his life, and he was trying his best to hold on to it, but then life happened. There were some situations which came to him not of his control necessarily. There were some mistakes which were made which were in his control, which, quite frankly, he dropped the ball. He did not live up to being the man of God, which God had called him to be. Sometimes, in regards to his own wife, he had made some mistakes of integrity and didn't stand up for his wife. This is Abraham, the father of the nation, had fallen down. And after all those many years had happened, all the situations, quite frankly, he wasn't sure if the promises were still valid. About 15 years ago, a pastor by the name of Jack Hayford preached here, right here at Jubilee New Covenant, and preached a message entitled, "The Deal is Still On." And he preached from this passage, and he said that, he showed us that even despite the vicissitudes, if I can throw out that big word, of life, all the challenges that Abraham experienced, all that you, God's son, you, God's daughter, experienced, if you would hold on, the deal is still on.
Hallelujah.
And that's what God said to Abraham here in verse 5. The Bible says, God took Abraham outside and said, "Look up." That's our topic. That's what God's telling you. Look up. He told Abraham, "Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them." The implication being, the creation of God is so glorious and magnificent, it is not even possible for you to count those stars. That is how great God is. That is how great his promises are to you. And God said, just like those stars, so shall your offspring be. Abraham was creating a plan B. God had promised him an heir, and Abraham said, you know what? Time has passed, and don't look like this thing going to happen, so I'm going to create my own plan B. And God said, not so. The deal is still on. Look up and see what God has promised. That's another example. We can also look at the example in 2 Kings chapter 6. We have another situation where we have Elisha, who is a man of God, and Israel is at war with the king of Aram in 2 Kings chapter 8. And Elisha, the man of God, has been able to get divine insight into what's going on in the opposing camp. 2 Kings chapter 6 verse 8 says, "Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, 'I will set up my camp in such and such a place.'" In other words, he was telling his officers, okay, here's the plan. We're going to do this, we're going to do that. Okay, everybody got it? Good. And they set up an ambush, and all their military strategies were in place. But when they would go to execute them, Elisha had been able to divine and hear what the king had been planning, and so was able to warn Israel, don't go over there. That's where they're going to attack. And so this king of Aram finally got sick of this because it kept happening over and over again, and they planned an attack to eliminate, to perform a surgical strike, if you will, on this guy Elisha to get him out of the picture so that this king could be successful in his attack against Israel. And so verse 13 describes this attack, this assassination attack, which is happening against Elisha. And Elisha and his servant are in the house, and says, verse 13, "Go find out where he is," the king ordered, "he," Elijah, "so I can send men and capture him." The report report came back, he is in Dothan. Then the king sent horses and chariots and a strong force there to capture, kill, eliminate Elisha. They went by night and surrounded the city. So they were there in place for the mission. Verse 15, when the servant of Elisha got up and went out early in the morning, oh, what a good morning, and when he looked around, an army with horses and chariots has surrounded the city. And he was aghast. He ran back into Elisha and says, oh, my Lord, what shall we do? Elisha answered in verse 16, don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And the text doesn't say it, but you can tell based on what happened is that the servant's like, yeah, right, what you smoking? But because then Elisha prays to help out the unbelieving servant. In verse 17, he prays, oh Lord, open his eyes so he may see. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he looked up. Look up. Say, look up.
Look up.
Say, look up.
Look up.
Say, look up.
Look up.
The Lord opened the servant's eyes and he looked up and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire, godly horses, surrounding the situation. The situation looked like it was bleak, without hope, but when he looked up and saw what was happening in the heavenlies, he saw that it was a different situation altogether. Lastly, in Isaiah 40, we have a situation where there are complaints from Israel regarding what's going on. The word goes out from the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 21. It says, do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? God sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He brings princes to nothing and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. Let's keep this all in perspective, in other words. Verse 26 says, lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might. Lift up your eyes. In other words, look up. Say, look up.
Look up.
Say, look up.
Look up.
Look up.
Look up.
Look, lift up your eyes and see. Because God is the one who is strong in power. And then he closes in verse 31. It says, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So the Lord would say, look up.
Look up.
Look up. Now there is that word, that phrase, and then I'm closing. Says that those that wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. And sometimes, so about 10 years ago, I'm reminded that sometimes there's a guy named Pastor Ron Elmore that brought a message and said, sometimes God will tell you when you're talking with him and dealing with him, sometimes he'll say, please, take a seat in the waiting room. And Pastor Elmore gave this example of how he was in physical pain one morning. He had a toothache. It was just excruciating pain. And so he had to change his daily schedule and go to see his dentist. The dentist knew him, they had a great relationship, and he had a brand new shiny insurance card, 100%, that would cover the expenses. And so he knew he was going to be taken care of. And when he got to the dentist's office, the woman who greeted him was so wonderful in her starched white outfit, the compassion in her eyes as she saw the pains he was in and said, oh, thank you so. Please come in, Dr. Elmore, and take a seat. in the waiting room. And persons would come in with seemingly minor issues and get their issues dealt with and in and out. And it seemed like nothing was going on. And like, he got so upset. He got irritated. This doctor, I've given her free tickets to basketball games. We've had a relationship. And I don't understand why this doctor is doing this. Maybe the doctor can't see that I'm here in the waiting room. And but just at that point, the doctor came out from behind the wall and looked at him. He said, "Ah, he sees me." He says, "Be right with you, doc." And then she went back inside. And he's like, "What's going on? I've been here for all this time. Can't she see I'm in pain? I'm about to die. And these people come in for orthodontic checkups and all that, in and out. I'm still sitting here. What's going on?" Well, maybe she's unable to deal with my situation. Maybe she can't see me. Maybe she's unable to deal with me. Or maybe she's unwilling. And he got himself in a funk. But then at one point, after he had read through all the People magazines and all the periodicals there, and he was just beside himself, he looked up, say, "Look up."
Look up.
He looked up on the wall and saw, seemingly for the first time, although he had seen it before, he looked up on the wall and saw all the credentials of the doctor. She had graduated from this school, and she had gotten that training, and she was on this board, and she was on that board, and she had gotten that commendation. And he was reminded of the credentials and the ability of that person. And then as he thought, he reminded himself, "Wow, you know, wasn't she always there when I had this situation? She helped me. And when I had that situation, she helped me." And he was reminded, wow, that's just like God. Sometimes all we have are God's credentials. That black text on the white page in his word of God. And we have to be reminded of who he is. And who else am I going to go to? Was he, in that situation with the dentist, was he going to go out on the street and have somebody else, or go to some other physician, other doctor who didn't know him as well? And he finally just said, "I just resigned myself. I'm just going to sit here. And when she comes out, I'm going to let her deal with me. I'm just going to wait. I'm not coming back to her because she's just hurt my feelings. Made me wait all this time." And so he just finally resolved. So he just sit there, wait till she comes, because he was reminded of her credentials and her ability. Then finally she did come out and said, "Dr. Elmer, please come in." And when he went back behind the wall, because he thought there was inactivity and inconcern, when he went back behind the wall, he noticed that there was two assistants standing there, the gloves strapped on, ready to go. He noticed that there were the surgical instruments were already aligned around the table, ready to go. He noticed that the chart of his medical record was sitting there and obviously been studied for quite some time. He noticed that x-rays of his dental images were already on the wall being fluorescent light. And he realized that although he couldn't see any activity on the other side of the wall, preparations were being made on his behalf. And so although you can't see what's going on all the time, look up. If you just have to look at the credentials of God and remind yourself, remind yourself of what God has done in your life, and realize that although just as with Abraham, the deal is still on, look up and count the stars, and although the wait may be long, it's still temporary. A long temporary and a short temporary are still temporary. So wait on God, be of good courage, look up, and trust him who has impeccable credentials, that he will move in your behalf as he promised. On three, shout, "Look up." 1, 2, 3.
Look up.
Be blessed.
Hallelujah.